Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are back in John chapter 8 and continuing our study of this portion of the Gospel of John. And we are focusing particularly upon verse 24, the words of Christ, and one of the most significant texts, I think, in all the Bible in many ways. And I hope we will see that more clearly as we proceed today. But Jesus is talking here about the awful consequences of failing to receive Him as He is revealed in the Word of God. Now let that sink in. The awful consequences of failing to receive Jesus Christ as He is revealed in the Word of God. I think one of the biggest deceptions that many people have imbibed is that they are believers in Jesus Christ. They are followers of Jesus Christ. They are Christians. They are, therefore, going to heaven, because they believe in Jesus Christ, but the problem is they are not believing in the Jesus Christ that is revealed in Scripture. They are believing in a Jesus Christ that is of some human description, some human derivation, some human manufacture, but is not, in fact, the Christ of the Bible. And you can see how easily deceived people can be, because they use the same language, they're talking about the same person, they are using much of the same Bible in support of what they believe, but there are certain key elements that they have rejected and somehow think that they're all right because they believe in Jesus. And I may be talking to someone in that category right now. And you need to listen very carefully to what the Word of God has to say to you today. So I pause and thank you for joining me on this Sunday, August 2. Hard to believe that we have now entered into the month of August, but here we are. And I also thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, here's the text. Now remember, Jesus is still speaking in the temple in Jerusalem at the time of one of the three major feast days of the Jews, when many, many Jews were crowding in the temple, and many of them were crowded around him, some from Jerusalem, I would gather probably the majority, but some from other places came in from out of town. Some are what we would call laymen, others are religious leaders. But here's what Jesus said to them in verse 24. Therefore I said to you, that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now we see a word of exhortation, the importance of believing upon Jesus Christ, and in a strong warning that goes with that. Watch out that you do not die in your sins for failing to believe in Jesus Christ. There is a word of explanation. When he says, I said, therefore I said to you, and that's based upon what he had said before, I'm going away, you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come, and so forth. I've explained all of that on previous broadcasts, so I'm not going back to that again. But I'm moving on to what I will call a word of encouragement, and it's also a word of instruction, when he says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You say, well, that doesn't sound very much like a word of encouragement. Well, in this sense, there is an unstated implication here, namely, that if you do believe, you will not die in your sins. That's the word of encouragement. He says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. But obviously, the opposite is true. If you do believe that I am He, you will not die in your sins. You will have everlasting life. And so he is talking about the importance of saving faith. Faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, the only faith that can cancel the debt of sin. It is faith that reverses the curse of our fallen nature, which we have inherited from our father Adam, having been born into the human family. But Christ alone can give us a new nature. Christ alone can translate us into His kingdom. And therefore, failing to believe in Jesus Christ leaves us without hope. We are already in a perilous condition. We are sinners by nature, as well as by choice, but sinners from birth, as well as by performance. And there's only one way to escape the condemnation which hangs over us because of our sin, and that is in believing in Jesus Christ. But if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. If you do not believe in Me, then things go on unchanged. It's not, as some people imagine, that everybody starts out innocent and then we reach a point in our life where we make a bad choice, where we choose to sin and choose to refuse Christ and whatever, and that somehow puts us into the category of condemnation. Whereas if we hadn't done that, we would presumably still be in the category of innocence. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach that God does not charge to a person sins which they do not understand. So we're getting into a different realm here and talking about what is sometimes called the age of accountability and so forth. But that's not really the point that I'm trying to get across at this time, and I'm not wanting to go down that path. But I'm pointing out that we don't start out on a path of righteousness and then only by bad choices move over to a path of unrighteousness, nor do we start out on a path of neutrality and by wrong choices move over to a path of definite condemnation. But the Bible tells us that we start out on the road of condemnation. And if nothing changes, that road is going to lead to eternal condemnation. If nothing changes, we will die in our sins. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Why? Because you will not be rescued out of your present state of condemnation, which has been your regular state, your continual state. And the only hope is to be rescued out of it. The only hope is to be changed. And that can only come about by believing in Jesus Christ. So faith must have Jesus Christ as its object. And here's the point that I've been trying to make, and particularly trying to make on the broadcast today, that Jesus Christ who saves must be the one revealed in Scripture. One must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be rescued out of sin and condemnation, but the faith that saves must be faith in the Christ of the Bible, the one that is revealed in Scripture and not another. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now, what are the implications of that? Well, that's what I want to explore with you for a moment. This is one of the great I Am texts in the Gospel of John, of which there are many. So we could actually go back through them, where Jesus said, for example, I am the light of the world. Unless you believe that I am the light of the world, you will die in your sins. Jesus said on a previous occasion, actually in the previous chapter, that he is the water of life. Except you believe that he is the one and the only one who can quench spiritual thirst, then you will die in your sins. He said in chapter 5 that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's who he is. Except you believe that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, you will die in your sins. He tells us that he is the one who saves. Except you believe that, you will die in your sins. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, and he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I heard from him. Well, we must believe that he is the one who has been sent from heaven to save, as well as the one who condemns. He's the one who saves. He's the one who condemns. He is the promised Messiah, the sin bearer. Verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he. Now, there's that phrase again. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And on it goes. But here, perhaps, is the most important one of all. And for this, I'm going to drop all the way down to verse 58. So I'm obviously skipping over a lot of intervening verses. But when we come to verse 58, we read these words. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now we get, I think, a little more of the weight of this statement, I am. And if you are a careful student of the Bible, you will realize that all of these statements that I read, for example, the one in verse 24, don't say literally, I am he. The he is in italics in my translation and in any good translation, because that is not in the original. The phrase is actually, I am. And whatever the I am is must be supplied. So I am he is a good word to supply. I am he. I am the one that I claim to be. I am the one sent of the Father. I am, you can fill in what goes after I am, but in some cases the best thing to do is to just stop and not fill in anything and give some thought to that phrase, I am. Unless you believe that I am, ego a me, I am. Well, what is the significance of that? Well, let's back up now from verse 58. He says, verse 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? It sounds from what you've said here, and again, I skipped a lot of the intervening verses, and in time we'll go back and at least read through them and make a few comments, but right now we skip them to get to our understanding of this phrase, I am. Unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. And he's made a lot of claims. And they're challenging these claims. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Now this is getting down to some pretty basic issues here. My Father is the one you say is your God. Jehovah, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You claim he is your God, but he is my father. And yet you don't accept me. You don't accept my claims. You don't recognize my relationship with the Father Could you be mistaken about the one you consider to be your God? You attach to him the right name. You attach to him many things that are correct because he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you are physical descendants of Abraham, and you are worshiping the God of the Old Testament and the God of the special relationship to Israel, the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you claim to be in that covenant, consider yourselves members of that covenant, and in that relationship, you consider yourself, you are stoutly insistent that you are worshipers of Yahweh, Jehovah, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you don't recognize me. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Uh-oh. Them's fighting words. Of course they know him. That's their God. That's what their whole life, in a sense, is wrapped up with, is in the worship of God. This God, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus says, you don't even know him. Now, this is, what should I say? This is the Jewish version of what I was talking to you about earlier. They said they worshipped Jehovah God, but they weren't worshipping Jehovah God as he was revealed in Scripture. Again, they had many things out of Scripture that were correct, but they had missed some of the most essential things. And therefore, missing the essential things, they'd missed the heart of it, and they were worshiping a God of their own making, their own manufacturing. They gave him the same name as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They ascribed to him many of the characteristics that the Bible ascribes to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they missed some of the core things that made it evident to Jesus, and we'll take his word for it, that the one they were worshiping actually turns out to be a fabrication, a false god, a mental idol that they had manufactured in their own minds and were stoutly committed to, but it was the wrong god. Yet you have not known him, but I know him, verse 55. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now that's quite a claim. Abraham, the one that they're holding up to as their father, the one that their allegiance is to, and that they're very indignant that Jesus seems to be claiming to be greater than Abraham. How can you make such a claim? Well, of course, he is greater than Abraham. He is Jehovah. He is Abraham's God. And he says that Abraham saw his day and rejoiced, saw it by faith, saw it by revelation, saw that that Christ was coming. He saw it ahead of time. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? No, he wasn't yet 50 years old. He wasn't even yet 40 years old. He was in his early 30s at this point. But they put out a figure that is large enough that there's no possibility of contradiction. You are not yet 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham? Come on now. You're talking like you know Abraham. You talk like you have seen Abraham. You talk like you are familiar with Abraham, who has been dead for centuries, for millennium, for a couple thousand years. You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Again, what is he saying? Well, he could be saying, before Abraham was, I was. But that's not what he says. He doesn't put it in the past, but that wouldn't be completely off the mark. Before Abraham was, I was. In other words, I predate Abraham. You're not 50, not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Yes. Because before Abraham was, before Abraham was born, before Abraham existed, I already existed. And that really is the force of the present. Before Abraham was, I was, yes, but we're talking about God, who is eternal, and we're talking about timelessness, and we're talking about this. Before Abraham was, I am, which is the same as saying, you put down your finger at any point, and there I am. When Abraham was born, I was there. I am present at that time. When the world was created, I am. I was present at that time. In the eternity past, when nobody existed but God Almighty, I am. I was there. I was present. At that time, I am eternally present. At any point in history, I am there because I am eternally present. With me, there really is no past, present, and future, though we human beings can only think in those terms. But before Abraham was, I am. Quite a claim. Quite a claim. And what it reminds us of is the revelation of God to Moses in the burning bush. Remember when Moses was arrested by that burning bush. It burned and burned and was not consumed. And he went over to check on it, and he heard God speaking to him and said, take the sandals off your feet, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. And he conversed with God, who was revealing himself to Moses in that burning bush. And in the course of the conversation, when God reaffirmed his commission to Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh, and demand that he let his people go. And Moses said, well, who shall I say to Pharaoh sent me? What name shall I use to reveal to Pharaoh that I have been commissioned to do this? Who shall I tell him is sending me? And he was in effect asking for what name to use to present his claims to Pharaoh. And here's what God said to him out of the burning bush. You remember this. I'm quoting Jesus now in John 8. Out of the burning bush, God said, I am that I am. You go tell Pharaoh that I am has sent you. I am. I am the eternally existent one. I am the pre-existent one. I am that I am. That is the most sacred name of God. There are a lot of things that can be said about that phrase, but we can understand it's mysterious, to be sure, because it is attached to a God who is mysterious and who is beyond our comprehension. We can only understand a very limited amount of things about him, the things that he has revealed to us, and he hasn't revealed anything to us. It's beyond our comprehension to understand. Well, I shouldn't say that, beyond our ability to understand, because he has revealed some things to us that we can't understand fully, but what he's revealed to us, we can understand at least in part. But he has, he's revealed himself in this term, I am that I am. And it is from that we get the name Jehovah or Yahweh, the highest and most sacred name for Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this mysterious relationship within the Trinity, that this eternal God, who is one God, nevertheless exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that God the Son was the Son before he came to earth as a man, it wasn't that Jesus became the Son of God in the incarnation. He was already eternally the Son of God. And as that, therefore, he was the God of creation. And he was the God of Abraham's conception. And he was the God who called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he was the God who brought Abraham to the land of Canaan and took Abraham's descendants down into Egypt and then commissioned Moses to bring them out. He was the God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. Who is the God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush? I am that I am. You tell Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. And what did Jesus say here? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And he said back in verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah, you will die in your sins. This is a very pointed word to those people who are very zealous to go around and knock on doors two by two, and have probably come to your doors, they've come to mine, and want to talk to you about their religion, which they consider to be the true religion, they consider to be true Christianity. But they don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah. They don't accept this claim. And not only is this claim important because it is given to us in the Bible, and whatever is revealed in the Bible needs to be believed, but it is critical because, as Jesus said, unless you believe this, you will die in your sins. It doesn't matter how many doors you knock on. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. It doesn't matter how much work you do for the interests of the kingdom. It doesn't matter how much persecution you're willing to take for being identified with a cult, or at least what true Christians consider to be a cult, and rightly so, that you consider to be true Christianity. But it doesn't matter that you're willing to suffer and take reproach for that. That's not going to buy you one day in heaven or it's not going to buy you one day in the kingdom on the earth either, because Jesus makes it clear, unless you believe that I am, that I am Jehovah, you will die in your sins. And the Jews understood what he said. Verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. They knew what he was saying, and to them, his words were blasphemous. He was claiming to be God. They didn't believe that, so they were going to stone him for blasphemy. But he spoke the truth. And if you don't believe it, if they don't believe it, they're going to die in their sins. Jesus is clear. And so will you, oh dear friend, believe the word of the living God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.